Karen JAD Puller Limited. So good afternoon and welcome. We've read your original submission and we've read the evidence that you provided in advance. Thank you for doing that, it makes our job easier. You don't need to read either of those two documents out to us, because we've already read them, but I see you have some extra notes that you prepared for us, so if you want to just read through those.
I'll do that with your leave, Mr. Chairman. Thank you.
Thank you.
They're really just a summary of the main points of the evidence and a few other points that have arisen relating to the section 42A report.
Yeah, that's helpful, thanks.
My name is David Puller. I am a director of DR and JAE Puller Limited, our family farming company. I wish to make a number of comments in support of our submission and the evidence presented to support that submission. DR and JAE Puller farm sheep and Angora goats on two properties totalling 268 hectares and carrying around about 3,000 stock units at Speedon Road and Mountain Road, Kaiwera. The business is operated by my wife and myself with minimal use of additional labour or contractors. The farm at Speedon Road has been farmed by four generations of our family. We have a strong connection to this land and to this place. In saying that, I acknowledge those whose attachment to this land goes back much further than ours. So I just want to make some comments now in relation to the plan, particularly with respect to sheep farming. Yeah, our submission and evidence strongly supports the general approach taken in the plan in managing sheep around water bodies. Now, we've provided some detail around the impacts that total exclusion of sheep from water bodies would have on our business and our lives, should you be of a mind to require total exclusion of sheep. In particular, consideration should be given to the effects on water of any alternative land use if sheep farming economics is undermined by the requirements of the plan. The most likely alternative land use for us is cattle farming. The nutrient losses resulting from a cattle system on our property are likely to be considerably higher because of the greater area of winter crop required, but the fencing of water bodies would be a lot easier and a lot cheaper. It appears that a cattle system could be accommodated by the plan without requiring a resource consent. I'd ask you to note that the nutrient losses produced by our current farming system, and that they're set out, I think, in the submission.
Yeah.
I suggest that these are at the lower end of the scale relative to more intensive farming systems. And I'd suggest that the additional benefits of total exclusion from sheep from water bodies in our situation would be minimal. I'd also ask you to note that there is existing riparian vegetation as shown in the photographs attached to the evidence. Now, I think it's important to also note that all of this has been maintained and enhanced without permanent fencing. And I want to comment on Rule 23, which relates to intensive winter grazing. We have concerns regarding the fairness of the area-based trigger for consent for intensive winter grazing. This approach, in our view, is not effects-based and places an unreasonable burden on larger land holdings. In our view, it does not conform to the principles of natural justice. It ignores the cumulative effects of, for example, a number of smaller properties in close proximity within a catchment that can all carry out up to 50 hectares of intensive wintering without the oversight of the consent process. And we consider that the trigger requiring a consent should be based on a percentage of the land holding rather than a set area. And I want to comment briefly on Rule 25, which relates to cultivation on sloping ground. We've noted in the evidence submitted the issues that will arise in relation to weed control by spraying on slopes over 20 degrees, particularly in relation to establishing tree crops. We consider that broad area spraying of slopes over 20 degrees for control of weeds, and I'm suggesting in the evidence I was talked about gorse and bream, but I suggest as an indicator could be used as weeds listed in the regional pest management strategy. So spraying of them should be able to be carried out without requiring a consent under the cultivation rule. I just think that the interpretation of the cultivation rule and the definition of cultivation is pretty wide ranging and is open to interpretation, and there's some potential risks in there.
Yeah.
I now want to move on to comment on some parts of the section 42A report. And the first thing that I want to comment is a suggestion in the report relating to E. coli. And the report suggests that the exclusion of sheep from water bodies should be required where E. coli levels exceed those set out in the National Objectives Framework. Now, we consider that this approach should only be taken where sheep are shown to be the major contributor to the breach of these levels. As a general principle, the sources of E. coli should be identified before action is required. There's no point in requiring mitigation measures to be taken if the source of any breach of the National Objectives Framework levels is not identified. Now, I'll comment on the discussion in the section 42A report regarding critical source areas. And we agree with the comments in the report with respect to the uncertainty relating to the definition and the identification of critical source areas. This uncertainty will result in disputes relating to the identification of critical source areas. This will result in land users potentially being in breach of the plan requirements and potentially subject to enforcement action. The plan requirements should be able to be easily understood by land users. You should consider how a dispute over whether or not a piece of land is a critical source area between a landholder and Environment Southland will play out. This level of uncertainty places landholders in a very vulnerable position and will do nothing to foster good relationships with Environment Southland. We consider the most appropriate way to deal with this matter is to remove critical source areas from the plan and to rely on the proposed setbacks from water bodies as the method for mitigating effects from livestock. These are easily understood. And finally, I just want to comment briefly on some comments in the 42A report relating to consent applications. We noted that in the discussion, the proposed 50 hectare restriction, well, it's wider than that, it's the restrictions around intensive winter grazing. The 42A report, in our view, minimises the impacts that result from requiring a resource consent. I think the suggestion was that the cost of applying for consent was relatively minor compared to the cost of putting in a winter crop. But in our view, the impacts of applying for a consent do not just relate to the cost of the application fees. They also relate to the costs in preparing the application, the uncertainty relating to whether or not the consent will be granted, unless it's for a controlled activity, the uncertainty relating to the conditions that may be imposed, and any cost of ongoing monitoring required for the consent. As a part of this, I guess we should need to state that we strongly support the proposed use of the environmental management plans rather than using consents wherever possible. So thank you.
Thank you very much. The notes you provided today, especially, are very clear, so I thank you for that. Let's see if we have any questions, Mike.
Well, thanks very much, David. That's good. Now, I just wanted to talk about I'll ask you about critical source areas, and farm management plan process would identify those on the farm. would that not be a way of getting around your concerns of critical source areas?
Depends who does the identifying.
Yeah.
The issue that I could see is that, because to be perfectly honest, the more I look at my farm, I'm not sure which are the critical source areas and which aren't. It depends which day you happen to turn up and have a look, essentially. And the concern I have is that I can produce an environmental management plan and highlight what I think are the critical source areas, but a council officer can turn up and look at that plan or look at what's happening on the ground and say, that's a critical source area, you haven't identified it, you haven't set out how you're managing it, and there's a whole lot of things that can then cascade down from that, potentially leading to enforcement action, I would imagine. And that's the concern that I have, and I don't think that that's a particularly good position to put landholders in. And it's not a way to encourage sustainable management of water. I think if you want to go down that track, my view is that Environment Southland would actually need to put the resources into actually identifying those and removing any element of doubt. So that's really the logic behind where we've come to. It took me a while to sort of work through the implications of that, but that's what I think they are.
No, I understand that. Thanks very much. That was the only thing. Thanks.
Thank you. Good afternoon, Mr. Pollitt. Just on your submission regarding cultivation, in fact, I think it's in your evidence, you were concerned about spraying beyond spot spraying, I think, broadcast.
That's correct.
Of course, and weed control. And so what you're saying is you could interpret the cultivation rule as applying to that activity.
That's right. Well, in our situation, it's actually shown in that photo there. Those gullies there are all gorse, and they're pretty steep. Some of that area has been logged before we purchased that property. Arguably, and it does need to be replanted at some stage, arguably to spray that for a tree crop in terms of the definition of the rule as it written would require a consent. Arguably. And I don't think I'm not sure whether that's the intention or not, but it could be interpreted that way.
Yes, okay. You weren't able to point to a particular part of the law. It's definition.
Yeah. Well, I think the definition talks to memory about establishment of pasture or crops.
Yeah.
So arguably, if you're spraying it and you're not establishing a crop, that's okay.
Yeah.
But if you are establishing a crop or pasture, then it's not, which is slightly counterintuitive as well, probably.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, I'm good, thanks.
Good. Well, fine, yeah. Great, thanks.
And there's nothing that I wish to clarify with you, but just to let you know, we're well aware of the need to look carefully at the definitions of some of these terms. They're crucial in terms of how the rules and policies are interpreted. Mm. So.
Thank you.
Your submission's not falling on deaf ears.
Yeah. Okay. Well, okay. As a fellow commissioner, I wish you well with your deliberations.
Thank you very much.